Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, what is happening? This is the Eric Terrell Show. Make no doubt about it. That's what this is, okay? This is the Eric Terrell Show. You landed in the right place, okay? We're here, and we're here to have a good time, to rap a little bit. And we're here on September the 30th of 2015. Some of us are getting old, okay? Some of us, not me, but some of us are getting old. Today, William Barter, high school teacher from inner city Philadelphia schools, he's going to join us. Why are black people or black students just, I don't know what you call one language, unilingual? Why are we like that? Why are blacks not bilingual? Why aren't we bilingual? Is there something to that? Is it a trend? I haven't met a black person who wasn't raised speaking a second language that knows a second language. I mean, not yet. They're out there. There's tons of them. I'm not saying that these people don't exist. They're a species that walk the earth. I just haven't ran into one. I'm trying to become one of those people, and then obviously I'll meet others. But it's a slow process. It's a very slow process. For some of you know, I've been working on that process for about 8 years now. About 8 years. I don't think it's supposed to take 8 years, but that's the timetable I'm on, and I'm not close. I'm not even close. I'm still at the rudimentary stages. Anyway, what's really relevant? I don't know, okay? First of all, listen here. We got some changes, all right? The Eric Terrell Show will no longer feature the five things. The five things will be on Nick and Eric in the morning only. We're changing the culture of the show, more comedy, more talk, all right? Today's show may run a little short. There are some things to do. I have to go and I have to meet with some colleagues tonight and go over some important I'm getting drunk and I need to get that started. But anyway, that has nothing to do with the format of the show. This is a permanent format change that's going to happen, okay? No five things, more comedy, more talk. And my co-host is still on leave, okay? She put herself on leave, not me. This is my show, people. It's my show. She put herself on leave, which means she left. That's what that means. She just left. She took off. Apparently, she's supposedly coming back. I hope she hears this. Asia Downing, we miss you. We miss you, but you put yourself on leave. And if you don't get back, we got a problem, okay? I'm going to hunt you down, and I'm going to hurt you. I said it. For now, we have Clayton Wells. Clayton Wells isn't here today either, but he's my interim. I've got dedication problems with my co-host, apparently. Clayton isn't here today either. He's my interim. What's really relevant? Now, we know that Donald Trump, obviously for the next year, the thing that's going to be most relevant is the election, okay? I don't have any election news for you. Hillary Clinton's not popular on Facebook anymore. That's what I can tell you. Hillary Clinton, she launched her presidential campaign back in March, and she was a Facebook force, okay? She generated millions of interactions from users week after week while all the other presidential contenders trailed way behind her. But not anymore, okay? As of last week, she fell to fourth in total Facebook interaction, What that means? It means something, okay? That's all I got for you. According to USA Today, her Facebook interactions are at 9.6 million for the week. Now, that's fourth, okay? That's fourth. That's fourth, 9.6 million for the week. And my response to that is, my damn. Well, my damn. That's a hell of a number to be fourth. But she's behind Ben Carson, Democrat Bernie Sanders, and Carly Fiorina, okay, as well as Donald Trump. Now, I guess if you count it, that would make her fifth. I'm probably reading this wrong. Anyway, listen here. She's not first, okay? She's not second, and she's not third. That's what we know. Listen here. Carly Fiorina just might become our next president. I'm just going to say that. You heard it here first. We were anticipating a female president. It might not be Hillary Clinton. Now, I'm not a Republican. I like Hillary Clinton just because this is gang warfare. I'm siding with her because she's a part of my gang. But I'm calling it right now that I think we're going to lose. We may not win. Listen, let me tell you something. You know how you want to become a fan of somebody, but you can't? Like when your cousin gets into a fight in front of you, and you know he's outmatched, and you can't help it, but you're like, listen here, we're gonna lose this one. We're gonna lose this one. Okay, I'm a root for you. I'm a vote for you. I'm a support you. But we're gonna need some Neosporin after this is over with. Okay, because you got yourself into something that I don't know that you can get yourself out of with a win, but I'm still hopeful. I'm still hopeful. Hillary's my girl. But Carly Fiorina, while she doesn't have my vote, I think she is a dynamic speaker. A dynamic speaker. She's already overtaken Donald Trump as far as the primary campaigns or elections is concerned. And I'm afraid of her. I'm afraid of her because I feel like she's just, you can't fight with her. She's the kind of woman that can never lose an argument. I mean, Jesus. Jesus. We thought Hillary was that girl, but Carly's more fierce. She's more fierce, and I'm afraid. Here we go. We got a topic, people. We got something to talk about. I'm done with my co-hosts, both of them. Y'all need to get your tails back here. Clayton Wells, he may be joining us today. This is the Eric Terrell Show, and today, before I take care of my official work-related business after the show, we've got something to do for the next 15 minutes. Why are we not bilingual? Is it a trend, is what I'm saying. Is there a trend, or do we just not like languages, just like we don't like math, just like we don't like science? I mean, just like we don't like history, you know, some things black people just don't like. You know, we just don't like them. It's not a trend. It's just that we just gonna do whatever we good at. I don't know, but I'm talking about it with a dear friend of mine. We've been friends for some time now, a couple years, and he's taught language, more specifically, Spanish, at high school. His name, he's a comedian, a great comedian, and his name is William Varda. What's going on, bro?
How you doing?
I'm all good. I'm all worked up. Usually there's two of us here, William, or Bill. I'm going to call you Bill because that's what I call you. But there's just me today, and me and you are gonna kick it together. My co-host / special guest, and I'm glad you could join me.
Yeah, I'm honored to co-host with you today.
So, oh yeah. Yeah! Oh yeah!
But most definitely. I think with people being bilingual, it tends to be a lot of times if you learn it from your family. So a lot of people will learn. So what I was teaching was Spanish, and a lot of times people will learn Spanish from their family. So if their family speaks Spanish, obviously they pick that up. And but if you don't really grow up in a bilingual household or a household that speaks, you know, more than two languages, it's kind of it's tough to learn everything that you need to know, but just because it does take a lot of practice, it's one of those skills that really does take a lot of time. I mean, I think one of the reasons people aren't motivated to learn it as a second language is because they don't really see the financial benefits. And, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of times it comes down to that, unless you just find them interesting, or, you know, useful in some way. But languages are actually very useful financially. I mean, if you look at some of the State Department languages, they may not necessarily be Spanish, but Chinese, Russian, and a number of other languages are priority languages. So there are a number of languages out there that you can actually get that will give you hiring preference. And I know from my personal experience, I've been hired before, like when I was doing social work, to speak, because I spoke Spanish, so that gave me a leg up, and I didn't learn it as my first or second a language at home. I learned it, you know, mostly in school at first. So that was my experience.
And you, how many languages do you speak?
English and Spanish. I have another one on my list that hopefully eventually will come along, but Mandarin. So. I have a few friends who speak Mandarin, and they learned it as a second language. So it is possible, but
okay.
That is actually a harder language. Yeah.
Right. And these friends are what?
What's that?
And these friends are what? Your friends that are putting you onto the Mandarin. No black friends.
Oh. One is a black guy. One's a white guy. So they both traveled abroad. I think one of the things that really stands out with people that learn it really well is a lot of persistence is a really important quality, and a lot of patience, because especially learning something as a second language, it takes a lot of work, and it can be kind of monotonous sometimes because there's so much to learn. There's a lot of nuance to it. And if you don't have the patience or a strong motivation, it can be really tough to follow through with all that. It's easy to miss a lot of details, because that's basically what a language is a lot of details. So
there's some
patterns to it, but a lot of exceptions too.
And then it's spoken differently in different places, just like Philadelphia has its own slang sometimes, and Texas has its own slang sometimes. You kind of have to adapt to the slang of the Spanish person or the person of the other language that you're speaking to. So it can be a little tough. And I know I thought Spanish would be a cakewalk. I had straight A's through my Spanish classes in high school until I ran into past tense. And that's when, like you said, it took persistence and it took attention to detail. Past tense hit me upside the head. I didn't know how to talk in past tense. I thought I was good at Spanish, and then I realized all the time I had just been talking in present tense. I didn't know how to – past tense was hard. But we can get back to that in a second. I don't know if you laid all of it out already as far as what you see, because I know you teach Spanish at high schools. And I know you taught at Delaware Valley Charter High School, which is literally right down the street from my house. Black school. It's a black school, black kids. I know you said financial benefits. They don't see the future in it or a lot of the benefits that it can bring to them, which, like you said, they might be wrong or underestimating it in that aspect, seeing as though so many jobs jump to a person who's bilingual. But the financial thing, and then the way you learn it, and then being raised in a household of speakers of a second language. But is that all, or is there any other trend that falls in line with African Americans specifically, you know, in these inner city schools where you teach? Do you find a trend that they bring to the classroom that really contributes to their apathy when it comes to learning a second language, as opposed to other races? Because these other things I feel like can fit into other races. But what about us? Why are we hard-headed, Bill? Why are we so hard-headed?
I think a situation, a reason that it might be different for African Americans is if people aren't familiar with learning a different language, or I think it has a lot to do with being open to learning another culture. So I know in my case, my mom speaks a different language. She speaks an Eastern European language. It's not very common, but I kind of grew up in a household where people were very, my dad was very, like he lived abroad in a Spanish-speaking country for a number of years. My mom grew up in a different culture in the United States. So there was kind of that, they kind of made me kind of look at things in a more open way. And I think for a lot of people, black, white, Asian, or, you know, whatever your background is, if you don't really have, if you kind of grow up with one culture and you're not really familiar with, or you're not taught to be specifically accepting, I think that it can be tough to take other cultures and other languages seriously. I think it has most to do with a mindset, and some people honestly don't like to learn languages. I think that the people that will really sit down and learn those kinds of things by themselves are, like, for any group, racial or age group or what have you, it's kind of uncommon because it's a difficult process, like I was saying, but it has a lot to do with your motivation. But I think openness towards other cultures goes a long way. That's a good starting point. Openness and curiosity. So if you grow up with those values in your household, and you know, it really depends on, you know, how your parents treat things. One thing that I did see some kids talk about, some of my students talk about, when I would teach them, and I saw them do this with some of the other languages that were taught at the schools that I've been at. They would say, "Well, I can't learn Spanish. I'm black," and that was strange to me because, you know. You know, there's plenty of people in the Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico or Peru, Colombia, who are also black and speak Spanish, or they speak multiple languages. And I thought that's kind of a weird comment, and that's not really going to help. That's really not going to help you learn the language. And, you know, right. not everybody is on the same page, obviously, but, you know, at least having a starting point of saying, well, you know, at least for this class, or at least to give myself a different experience with the language, then, you know, I can take the time to learn it. And if it's not my thing, or I have, you know, too much trouble picking it up, then I might not continue with it. But I think that that's a good thing for any subject, really. And, you know, just to have an open mind and be persistent about it. That's something that's hard to do because it is challenging. I mean, honestly, there've been plenty of times when I've been bored learning Spanish, and, you know, even after I learned it for a while, and you're always learning new things, there's always little nuances to learn. You always, you know, have different experiences, you know, using the language, and it's always work. It'll never really be your native language, even if you get good at it.
True. That's definitely true. You really hit the nail on the head as soon as you started talking just now when you said that they're just not open to another culture. And I know that a lot of times I always point to exposure or the lack thereof being the biggest detriment to education. And that happens across every subject, but I can imagine that being the case drastically for learning a different language, because so many kids, although it isn't the fault of their own, they live in a bubble. They've grown up in a bubble, and they've never left the bubble. So anything outside of the bubble is just weird. It's just a little weird, even though I might have to learn it for now. Kind of weird, you know what I mean? Why exactly do I need to go so far out of my bubble? But that's true, and And I agree. And Bill is white. I just want to say that real quick because I don't know if we said that. I don't know if people know that yet. But we've gone pretty far without saying.
I think talking about the resource issue, and that's been something that's been discussed in a lot of schools in different cities, in particular in inner city schools, because you know obviously there does tend to be a drastic difference between resources. You know, if you live in the suburbs, and or if you live in an inner city, and you know, public versus private schools. So, I mean, that's definitely an issue. I would say that it's probably, you know, the majority of the issue, or at least, you know, half of it, you know, half of the problem or more. But, you know, it's also, you know, even if you have the resources, people may not necessarily be disposed to, you know, to those things. And I think it has a lot to do with kind of, I think it's partially a role model thing. So if you don't see anybody that speaks another language, then, or has any kind of interest in a certain topic, then you're kind of going to go with them and ignore it too. I mean, there are plenty of people that speak, that'll speak a second language. And I think this is kind of an interesting case. People that grow up, around people that are a first or second generation immigrants, and then they happen to learn through their networks with those speakers another language, you know, whether it's Spanish or Russian or a different language. And I think that's really cool. But in those cases, if you're going to use that as a way to actually learn a language, it's more like you hang out with people that speak mostly Spanish or mostly, right, mostly Russian or what have you, you know, in the case, whatever the case is in Philadelphia. But,
right.
I mean, you can do it. But as a way of actually like going about it, it's kind of more challenging. So, with your situation, like you've been learning Spanish for a number of years, you were saying, and I don't know, like what's been your experience with it? You were saying the past tense is kind of a pain. It's one of those harder topics.
Yeah, I'm still stuck on it. I remember actually talking to you about it when we were hanging out one night, talking about, and I was telling you how I was struggling with past tense. I'm kind of getting it because past tense changes when you deal with different verb conjugations, or you know what I mean, when you deal with the IR as opposed to the ER or the AR verbs. But I'm warming up to it. Spanish to me is so fun. It's just fun. I just like to speak it. It's just a fun thing to speak. And I remember you telling me at one point that you kind of have to have a knack for it. You kind of have to enjoy Spanish, or you have to have the kind of brain that learns it well, or something like that.
I still think that's an important thing. I mean, I don't think you don't have to be the Kobe Bryant of learning languages. I mean, there are some people out there that just pick them up really incredibly. There was one guy, he's on the autism spectrum, but I'm trying to think of his name, but he's quite famous now, but he's like a world memory champion, and he learned Icelandic. He learned like conversational Icelandic in a week. I mean, you could be that guy, but you really don't need to be. It has more to do with your persistence, and if you do find something rewarding about it, inherently rewarding, you know, before you make it a financial objective, that's really helpful.
Definitely. Well, the first thing is just knowing it, just being able to say that I'm bilingual. I can tell you one thing. I know a lot of Spanish words, and I can make simple sentences, but I'm in no way fluent. But I remember being in Miami, and I was with my friend Nick, and we were pulling up to the beach, and there was a small parking lot, and the parking lot was full. We saw two people getting in their car, and we didn't know. We were holding up traffic, so traffic within the parking lot. And so Nick was like, ask him if they leave it. Ask him if they leave it. We had no clue that these people only spoke Spanish. So I was like, y'all leaving? Or, you know, y'all leaving or you just getting something from the car? She's like, hey. And he's like, oh, they don't speak English. So I asked him in Spanish, and that was one of the pinnacles of my life. Okay, I communicated in Spanish. That was the only time that it was great. It was great. I remember that day vividly, and it felt so good.
It feels like having a superpower when you can communicate with somebody that you wouldn't otherwise be able to communicate with. And yeah, that's one of the things that kind of once you learn a little bit more. Once you learn a little bit more of the language, you can, even with simple phrases, you can go a long way. And a lot of times people will appreciate that you're making an effort because, you know, if they don't speak your language or, you know, they have a hard time, they appreciate that you're going that extra mile. And, that's pretty cool though. In Miami, especially, people speak, it's majority Spanish from what I've heard, majority Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
So if you walk into a corner store or you walk into a restaurant, people just expect you to speak Spanish, which is from the perspective of learning a language, it's great. But if you don't, obviously, if you have trouble with it or you don't speak the language, then you need somebody to step in like Eric and do a little translating for you.
Yeah. You need to jump in there for you. Now, I can't brag about my superpowers too much because you know I'm not there. But listen here,
just use them for good.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Zach.
See, that's the bill I know coming out. Just use them for girls. Just use them, you know. But listen here. Speaking of that bill, we've covered it. I thank you so much. Be open to another language. I think Bill is the overall message, and I don't know if you have any more motivational tips to people who feel unexposed, but you can give that as we close the show. We've got about 30 seconds left. Do you have any nuggets?
Sure. There are a lot of resources. If you're listening to the show and you had any questions about what you can find, I mean, if you can't find something with a simple Google search, reach out to Eric. And I'll pass on some things that I found to him, and he can you know let you know about those things. But just keep working at it, and it can be a little tough at times, but it can be a very rewarding experience as well. And I had a great time talking.
Oh yeah, we enjoyed you. It was a great informational show. It was fun. Now listen here, Bill. Before we close the show, I got a quick question to ask you. I'm gonna catch you way off guard. You can drop the whole professional thing that you had going on for most of the show. I needed you to be that guy, and I appreciate it. But right now, I'm going to ask you this question.
What's that?
Can celibacy ruin a relationship? Real quick.
I would say not just will, not can it, it will. Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Bill says guaranteed. It will guaranteed it will ruin a relationship. Listen here, I will not be here. Next week we have an amazing retro episode that we're releasing. I'm going to be at Hampton's Homecoming down in Virginia at HU. The week after that I'm returning. Can celibacy ruin a relationship? You're going to enjoy that episode. It's going to be phenomenal. That's 2 weeks on the Eric Terrell Show. Until then, love yourself, love others, love. Love the truth, I should say. And finally, love. And it's not hard to love. All you have to do is love God, because God is love. And God did it. Okay, I appreciate y'all. Oh, man, time for my meeting. I got to get going. I got a meeting.